It says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we minister your word tonight, we thank you that there'll be a release of your anointing. God, give your people ears to hear. Let them grow and increase in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help, Lord, me to be able to deliver it where they can hear it, receive it, understand it, and run with it. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And again, this is one of the things that I was meditating on, is thinking a lot about why God wants to prosper you, why God wants to prosper our church. But really, in reality, God wants us to be successful in everything that we do. The Bible teaches us, and I'll just have to give you some references here, because if you're saved tonight, how many of you understand that God does have a plan for you? Amen. We're going to find out that you are God's building. We just read here, you are God's field, you are God's building. Now, 1 Timothy 3:15, you don't have to turn there, but it talks about, Paul told Timothy that the church is the foundation and are the pillar and the foundation of truth. The pillar and the foundation of truth. You are the body of Christ, you are God's building, and you are the very support or the pillar or the very structure of the foundation of truth. Now, if anybody should know the truth and have the truth, it ought to be the people of God. Amen. We shouldn't be groping around in darkness wondering what the will of God is. Are you with me? Amen. So he says, not only are you God's building in verse 9, but then according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each man, now look at this, let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now I've got a question here for you. What are you building tonight? What are you building with your life? It says, for no other foundation, look at verse 11, can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. So we find out that the Father is the architect of our life. He's the one that has the design and the plan. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone. I'll probably talk a little bit about that on Sunday. But Jesus, the Bible says, is the chief cornerstone. And that's what we build on. If you try to build a house, and we've got some builders and architects in here, if you try to build a house without a plan, how many know you're going to have probably a mess when you get through? In other words, if you set out to build a house, it'd be a very good idea to have a blueprint. It'd be a real good idea to have a master plan so that everything gets done according to the plan, so that when it's all together, the house looks like a house, and the house will stand the first time we have a strong wind. Because, you know, there are things and buildings and structures that they just wing it. I said they just wing it. You see a lot of that in the valley where there was no plan, and you see the result of how that building turned out. So you with me? So we find out that God is the architect. He's got the plan, but we've got to go to God and discover or get the plan. Because without the blueprint, listen, without the blueprint, we're going to not know how to follow, to come out with the building that God has designed for us. Now, we are building it. And so the first question I want to ask you tonight, what are you building? What are you building with your life for God? Stop and think about this just a moment. Now he's talking about, here's where people get kind of They use this as a cop-out because now he's talking about works. How many know to build a building takes work? Amen. But you say, Pastor, we're not saved by works. That is true. But how many know once we're saved, we work?
Amen.
I mean, we work for God.
Yes.
See, we have our vocation, but we have our calling.
Amen.
Sometimes we don't understand and we use that as a cop-out because people will say, yeah, you don't work for your salvation. That is true. You don't. There's nothing that you can do. There is nothing that you can do good enough to work for your salvation. Ephesians 2:8. Everybody know that scripture? It says what? For by grace are we saved through faith. And it says, and that is a gift of God, lest any man could boast. In other words, we can't brag that we saved ourselves.
Amen.
Now, we can brag that Jesus saved us. But we can't brag about we saved ourselves or we did something in order to get ourselves saved. The only thing you did to get yourself saved was surrender your life to Jesus, and Jesus had grace and mercy and saved you.
Amen.
Are you with me? So we have to understand, as far as works, that's not a term that you use when you're talking about building your life or building what God has called you to do. You talk about salvation. Once you get saved, now you begin to work.
Amen.
The Bible says, and just put these scriptures up there, Philippians 2:12 and 13 if you would, because it talks about that we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Put it up there. It says, Philippians 2:12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out, here it goes, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, Jesus puts it in you because it's a gift of God, but you got to work it out of you.
Amen.
Did you see that? And if you read the verse above that, it's God's will. It says in verse 12, if you just put it up there, it says, verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. In other words, you are responsible to build your house according to the plan that God gives you.
Amen.
It's like Crest, the toothpaste. How many know Crest puts the toothpaste into the bottle, but you have to get it out of the bottle?
Amen.
Have you ever noticed that? They put the toothpaste in the container, but it takes some effort, or you have to squeeze it in order to get it out.
Amen.
In other words, it don't just float out of the tube when you get up in the morning and float through the air, get on your toothbrush, and Crest is not responsible if your teeth rots or not.
Hallelujah.
Are y'all with me? I'm just trying to use a little crude analogy here to get you to understand. God has put in you everything that you need. God has put in you His salvation. Now it is up to you to work it out. I have never been able just to get up and say, teeth be brushed. And they were brushed. Are y'all with me? Okay, so we have to say, it's just an illustration. Every gift that God has placed in you and in me will do no good until it comes out. In order for it to come out, it has to be surrendered to God.
Amen.
In order for it to come out, it has to be surrendered to God so that God can receive the glory from it.
Amen.
I told these musicians, God is not looking for talent.
Amen.
God is not looking for gifts because He's the one that gives you the gifts.
Amen.
He's the one that gives you the talent. But in order for the anointing to be there, there's going to have to be some effort. There's going to have to be some building of God's building. Now look, verse 13. Let me just kind of get into this here. It says, well, let me just back up because I don't want to leave anything out here. It says, no one, verse 11 again, no, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds, now look at this, because it's going to tell us something. It's going to tell us that our building is going to be tested. It says, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Now let me just stop there, because the day that he's talking about is the day of judgment. In other words, you are now in the process of building something. Everybody that is saved, you're no longer trying to work the salvation in you. You are now working it out of you. And you are either building with, now listen, either quality material or inferior material. God is not interested. Now, sometimes we get this part again messed up in our thinking. God is not after quantity. He is after quality. Did you just notice what we read? That he said you can build with gold, you can build with silver and precious stones, or you can build with wood, hay, and stubble. Now it doesn't take a real lightning fast mind. You can go down and buy a lot of wood compared to how much it would take to buy gold. You can buy a lot of 2x4s for what it'd take to buy 1 ounce of gold. Are you with me? So he's talking about the purity. He's talking about the quality in which you build your life on. Because he says the day is going to declare how you have built your building. You are God's building. Say it with me. Say, I'm God's building. Now what are you building, and what is the quality of the material that you are using? Because if you don't have the right builder, they can skimp on the material. Got to get an amen from one of the builders in here. Have you ever seen any shoddy builders? I mean, how many know, if you don't have the right people doing your house, it can get in a royal mess. Sometimes you can get somebody, I remember a guy telling me, he had somebody frame his house, and it took a lot more money and two other crews to come in and straighten out what they messed up. So what I'm saying to you is that you and I have to build with quality material. We can either use the gold, the silver, and the precious stone, or we can use the wood, hay, and stubble. If we're using the wood, hay, and stubble, we're using inferior material. We're using cheaper material to build our house. And it says that in that day, it's going to be tested. It says, each one, verse 13, each one's work. So we're talking about work again. Everybody say work. We don't work to get saved, but once we're saved, we have a building to build. You are the building of God. Now look what it says. It says the day, the judgment day. In other words, it's not about whether we're going to go to heaven or not. Are you with me? It's not about are we going to make heaven. Now a lot of people would be satisfied if they just made it to heaven. I'd be satisfied I made it to heaven. How about you? But Paul tells us not to think like that. In other words, when we think like that, we're thinking kindergarten. Amen. How many of you know tonight you are going to heaven? Amen. You're going to heaven because Jesus saved your soul. Amen. So we're not talking about working to get saved. Now we're talking about because we're saved, we work for God. Amen. Because we are God's building. Amen. But here's another thing I want you to see. is that what we will be rewarded for. Did I read that part? What we will be rewarded for. It says, if anyone's work, now look, if anyone's work, verse 14, which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. Focus tonight a moment on the reward. Focus tonight on the quality of building that you are building for God. Because you will, and here's what I want to tell you, you will only be rewarded for what God told you to do.
Amen.
No, you didn't get me. You will be rewarded for what God told you to do and the quality or how you built what God told you to do.
Amen.
You won't be rewarded on what God didn't tell you to do. And there's a lot of good things.
Amen.
If I told when our children were growing up, or I told my son to go out and mow the yard, and when I come back, I want the yard mowed, I want it edged, I want it blown off, I want it to look nice. And when I come back in, the yard is just like it was when I left that morning. I go in the house, and the son calls me over to the kitchen and says, look how clean the kitchen is. There's not a dirty dish. Everything is spotless. Well, that's good, son, but you didn't do what I told you to do. In other words, you did something good, but you didn't do what I told you to do. I told you to get the yard mowed because the rain's coming and we can clean the kitchen later. I'm preaching to you better than you're saying amen. Now, see, this is where we get messed up, okay? We think we're doing good works, but are we actually doing what God told us to do? Because He says that we are going to be rewarded based on how we built the house. And it says if any work is burned, now look at this, he will suffer loss. In other words, on the day of judgment, you're going to find out how you built the building. You're going to be tested, and if it's built on the inferior things like wood, hay, and stubble, how many know Jesus is going to have a big blowtorch? It is going to go, whoa! And all your lifetime achievements, everything you thought was good, is reduced down to a little pile of ashes. No, think about that. Think about everything that you do as in building your building for God. Because it will be tested.
Amen.
You may get every dish washed. You may have every hedge manicured. You may accumulate and paid a lot of bills. Just ashes. Did you do what God told you to do with what you had to do with? Because every man's building will be tested. Are you building with quality? Are you building with inferior? Are you building quantity? Are you building quality? Are you with me? Are you listening to this? Okay. So let's read on here. It says that every man's work, verse 14, which has built on it endures, but he will receive a reward. If any work is burned, he will suffer loss, but as he himself will be saved. So we're not talking about whether you're going to heaven or hell. We're talking about the work that you did for Jesus once you became saved. Is it going to be reduced down to a pile of ashes? Or is it going to be something that's going to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, that analogy there, it says, as yet though through fire, is in reference to biblical times or ancient times when they would go out and defeat a king or defeat a city, and they would bring back the spoils, and they would put the spoils that they gathered up through a fire. And everything that was burnt up, of course, burnt up, but everything that would pass through the fire and remain, that was what was valuable, and that's what would be left over for them to enjoy. It says, do you not know? Now look at this. Do you not know? And by the way, Paul uses that phrase 10 times in the book of Corinthians. Do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know that you are, and I'm saying this message to encourage you tonight, encourage you that what you do for God is important. What you do for God is valuable. Some people never discover this and never figure out. They just think that they got saved, that's it, they come, they go, but they never enter into the building plan that God has for their life. And so we're always frustrated. We're always uptight. We're never achieving. We're never, you know, finding and discovering what God has called us to do. It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, he's having to talk to them because if you go back and read the first part of the chapter, he said, I can't... Well, let me just read it to you. He says, I could not speak to you in verse 1 as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. He says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food until now. You were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, because he said, you are still carnal and you're acting like mere men. You're acting like you're not even saved. Now, let me just bring out another little tidbit to you. How many know that babies can't work? Amen. They don't work. Amen. I mean, you tell a 2 or 3 year old, hey, do this, do that, they probably just no, or they don't say nothing. They just go about their business. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So babies, they don't work. All they do is lay there, sit there, look pretty for about 2 hours and start crying again. Amen. Wanting somebody to stick something in their mouth and feed them. And they can smell if it's their mama or not, but they want something to eat or they cry. That's all babies can do. Now, we love babies, right? But how many know babies need to grow up? Now, that's what Paul is saying. It's not just a matter of us, you know, looking at this thing about, oh, will we make heaven? We know we're going to make heaven. Amen. That is no longer, that should be no longer in your vocabulary of whether or not you're going to go to heaven. How many of you know you're going to heaven? Okay, that's what we're saying. You know you're going to heaven. Now, what are you building for God? What does your building look like? He says, don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Say holy.
Holy.
Yeah. Which temple you are. In other words, you is plural. King James says ye, but you is plural. In other words, he's talking to the whole body. He says, you are the temple of God. Each one of us is building a building, but all of us together are building God's house.
Amen.
Not just the physical house here, but we are building a spiritual house. Amen. The foundation and the pillar of truth is the church of the living God. In other words, we have to come back and say, okay, what are we building here? Are we building quality people? Are we building a church of people that know the truth of God's Word, that knows the difference between deception, a lie, and what is true? Are we building people that know how to resist the devil and come against the devil and all of his strategies and all of his works and stand in faith and trust God, and no matter what comes, you go through on the other side more than a conqueror because you are anointed in God? Are we building quality? Are we just building quantity? Some people, I told you, you don't want them building your house.
Amen. Amen.
We got to come back and say, in church, are we building? And I don't know what this message means to you, but I take this thing very seriously.
Amen.
I want to know what I'm building. I want to know that every word, every message that we give is a quality word that's building in the lives of those that are hearing it.
Amen.
Now I realize you're not going to build every person that comes in here because not every person wants the Word.
Amen.
But those who want the Word will be able to stand up and declare, thus saith the Lord, and they do not compromise when it comes to God.
Amen.
We are building up a church of quality, people that can go out and reproduce themselves by winning people to Jesus and making disciples in the Lord.
Yes.
Somebody running for president that doesn't know the difference or when conception begins, you know the truth.
Amen.
I said, you know the truth.
Amen.
You can't blame the church because you know God. And you know when conception begins, it begins, or the life begins at the moment of that conception.
Amen.
Don't get hoodwinked in anything that's not of God.
Amen.
Can you lead somebody to the Lord? Praise the Lord. Can you lay hands on somebody who's sick and believe and release faith that they will be raised up?
Yes.
There is no greater joy, see, when you are producing fruit that is of quality. There is no greater joy for me and for we to know that somebody is raised up in this church and that can stand up and preach.
Hallelujah.
Can stand up and give a word from God. Are you here?
Amen.
And there's some in here that can do it.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, that gives me joy. It gives me joy when somebody who's grown up in the church, like this young girl right here, Pastor, I got a word. You're going to get to preach. She wants to preach. She's got something burning on the inside of her.
Amen.
Are you here?
Yes.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Are we producing quality? Are we producing quantity? Somebody who can stand the test. Somebody who will receive instruction and correction. Because, listen, every good craftsman, I'm talking about somebody that's good at their craft.
Yes.
You can bear me out on this. Whether they're a cabinet maker, whether they do the casework, if they're real good at it, they step back and they look at their work.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And they admire their work.
Yes.
Amen.
If you don't care about your work, you never look back.
Amen.
Now this is why some Christians get frustrated. They don't ever step back and go, ta-da. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Hey, what are you building tonight? Now let me finish this because I'm out of time. Verse, let me just go to the end of this thing. Do you not know? Look at verse. Okay. We just have to go there. It says in verse 21. We just got to finish this. Therefore, let no one boast in men, Would you put that up in the NLT, the New Living Translation? I thought about this. This is what they ought to post over the convention. I didn't say which one. I said, therefore, put it up there. Put it up there in the New Living Bible, 321. So don't boast about following a particular human leader.
Amen.
For everything belongs to you. I said, everything belongs to you. You are special. Don't get your eyes on following some human leader. Get your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. The God who will never leave you, who will never forsake you, who will never let you down, who is always there, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Bless God. Now, just leave it up there a minute. Just leave it up there, because it goes on to say, therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos, oh, I won't say it, or Cephas or Peter, or the world. Hey, did you know everything in the world belongs to God? If it belongs to God, it belongs to you. Now, I didn't say go to your neighbor and tell him that lawnmower belongs to me. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying whatever resource you and I need, whatever we need to further the kingdom of God, it belongs to God, and God will supply our need. Whether, look, he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life, not only the resources, material things that we need, but life. What's the opposite of life? Death. Well, in other words, that tells me that God will give me health right along with wealth that I can fulfill and build my house unto God. Because by His stripes I was healed. By His stripes I am healed. I don't have to fret it. I don't have to sweat. I just chill out and relax because I have the plan from God. And God said, I will supply every need you have according to my riches. Where? In glory. Where's glory at? In the kingdom of God. He says, whatever you need. He says, things, life or death, are things present? What do you need right now? What do you need? Come on, somebody tell me. What do you need right now? What do you need by in the morning? What do you need in the morning? Come on, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What? Food. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need in the morning? Strength. What do you need? Wisdom. Why are y'all afraid to say, I need $1 million? Why are y'all afraid to say what you need? What do you need tomorrow? What do you need to pay all your bills? What do you need to live like a king, to reign and rule in this earth like a king? What do you need, right? What do you need? Sure, you need money and you need health. And you need food and you need gas and you need shoes and you need clothes and you need all kind of material things. And you need spiritual things too. Don't be afraid. That's what he said. He said, things present are things to come. Oh, help me, somebody. I said. What do you build? All years. In other words, it doesn't matter if you need it in the morning or you need it 5 years from now. Jesus needed that donkey to ride into Jerusalem to fulfill prophecy.
Amen.
And Jesus said, don't fret it. The donkey's already waiting at the crossroads. Just tell him the Lord has need of it.
Amen.
Zechariah saw it 500 years before it ever happened. Don't you know that God sees you because you are special to God, just like Jesus is special to the Father? You're special to God, and God has His eye on you. Don't let the devil mess with you.
I'm about to get excited because everything is yours. And let's read verse 23 together. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. And you're just as special to Jesus as Jesus is special to God the Father. Are you with me, church? You better, you know, don't you let the devil rip you off. I mean, he ain't nothing but a... Did anybody see MSN's homepage yesterday? There was an article on there about a cockapoo. I mean, you know what a cockapoo is. Just the cutest little puppy. I mean, a ball of fur. I mean, you just want to... The story was that the cockapoo, about 6 months old, just the cutest little puppy you ever saw in your life, how he ran three bears up into a tree. Did anybody see that story? I should have brought it. And I'm thinking, here's this pretty little cockapoo. Ran these three vicious black bears up a tree in the guy's backyard. And that's, I thought, you know, that's, isn't that about like Christians? The devil is disguised as a cockapoo. Looks cute, looks pretty and furry, and you want to kiss him and squeeze him, but yet you let him run you up a tree. Let him steal from you. Let him take from you. Are y'all here? I said you need to put your foot on the devil's head. Amen. You need to know that all things are God, and you belong to God. Amen. And He said, all things are yours.
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Stand up with me. Now listen. Let me ask you something. How many of you in here know how much longer you're going to live on this earth? You don't know, do you? Well, the question is what are you building with the time that you have left? See, that's why I'm talking to you, the core group, okay? I said the people that are hungry for God, those that want everything that God has for their life. Are you with me? Oh, somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You want everything God has for you?
Yes.
Then let me just encourage you. Build your house and build it with quality.
Amen.
God will get pleasure out of His servants. God gets pleasure out of His sons and daughters that do what He tells them to do.
Amen.
Not what you want to do, but what He told you to do.
Amen.
There'll be a great reward. If you could get a glimpse, 15 seconds of that reward day, you'd say, my goodness gracious, you'd be running back to this earth suit to get in line to do something for God. He's going to make you rulers over nations. It says it in the book of Revelation. Rulers over cities. Hallelujah. You'd run back here, man, if you just get a glimpse. Are you building on gold, silver, precious stones? Are you a house of honor? Oh, you'll get saved. You'll make heaven. But what will be left once the fire burns all of your works? I don't know about you, but I want something left.
Amen.
Not for my glory, but for the glory of God. You know why? Because what will Jesus say? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. We want to hear that. Father, we thank You tonight as we close this service, Lord, on Wednesday. Father, we thank You that We are building a people of quality. God, not a religious format, but a people, God, who are hungry, who are thirsty. God, who are willing to go out into the highways and the byways and to work for the kingdom of God, whether it's inside the physical church or whether it's out on the streets, Lord. Whether it's opening up their homes, opening up their house, Lord, whether it's serving in nursery, whether it's serving with children, with the teenagers, the sound, the music, the ushers, Lord, the ministry of helps, Lord, whatever it is, God, we want to be obedient to what you tell us to do. And we give you the glory, Lord, for it. We want our building to be quality in Jesus' name. And if you want your building to be quality, say amen.
Amen.
Now, just while your head's bowed and eyes closed, let me ask tonight if there's someone in here, if you're not saved, now is the time to receive salvation. It's a free gift, but it has to be received. God is ready to pour the crest into your tube. But you know, you have to receive it. If you're here tonight and say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm truly or if I'm really saved. I don't know that. Lift your hand now before I dismiss everybody with a prayer tonight. If you're not sure of your salvation, say, you need to be sure. That's all we make sure. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Lift your hand. If you lifted your hand, would you come down here with me, please? And just let me pray with you before we dismiss. That's all right. Come on, son. Anybody else tonight? Praise the Lord. Just say this prayer. Anybody else needing this prayer? This man wants to be saved. Know that you know that you know that you know. You'll leave this altar here in just a moment and you'll never doubt your salvation again in Jesus' name. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you now to come into my heart. Forgive me of my past, of every sin. Wash me in your blood. In Jesus' name. And now by faith, I receive you, Jesus, as Lord and Savior. And from this moment forward, I belong to God. God is my Father. And Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you, Lord, that by faith he has received you into his heart and his life, and he is cleansed now, as clean, God, as he can be. And I thank you, Father, that all those old things now are put under the blood, and he walks out of here in a new life, a new freedom, in Jesus' name. Fill him, baptize him with your Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Paul, are you still, would you give him a book and show him what he did? Okay. Praise the Lord. Everybody else, just stretch your hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for your people once again, Lord. I pray, God, a hedge of protection round about them. Lord, as they travel, Lord, give them your mercies. Lord, bless their home, their children. Allow them to get adequate sleep and rest so that they can do what they need to do in school. I know you redeem the time, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that they come out here on Wednesday. And Lord, I thank you that they'll go forth truly blessed of you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.